Lifeway Leadership Podcast Network. You're listening to the newchurches.com Q&A podcast. New Churches is an online hub for the mission of church multiplication. Here you'll find the resources and training you need to get started, as well as a community of church planting and multi-site experts to help you thrive. My name is Daniel Lim, and I'm here with Ed Stetzer.
And I'm honored to be here with Daniel Lim.
All right, so episode 561, if you haven't listened, pause this, go back and listen to that, because that's where we kicked off this little mini-series between Ed and me on the idea of cultural issues, theological issues, and missiological issues for the church coming into this new year. And on episode 561, Ed articulated the fact that pastors need to be aware of three, COVID-19, politics, and the racial conversation. So we covered the COVID-19 one on episode 561. So just be sure to go back and listen to that as we've kind of, we're basically getting to that conversation of, okay, now what? Yeah, we recognize these are three cultural issues we need to be aware of, but as a local church pastor, I can't spend my day reading all the articles that there are on all sides of the issue regarding race and politics. And it's just because there's so much. I mean, you could, like, your brain could explode trying to read all of that and trying to figure out, okay, what should I listen to or who should I listen to? So really, we ended the last episode with a question that I posed to you, Ed, where it's like, okay, as a local church pastor, how much should we know, or what should we know, or where should we dig in, especially in regards to these three issues? So let's start with, because we covered COVID-19, why don't we start with the politics one?
Yeah, so politics is it's particularly tricky. And generally, you know, you mentioned, you know, how much should we know? What should we read? What should we learn? And the answer is that you really need to know your people more than you need to know the politicians. You need to know your community more than you need to know everything about Congress. See what I alliterated there? I was kind of proud of that.
You're a preacher.
I am a preacher, so I can do that. So I would say that that's the place to start, is you're not there predominantly to be a politician or engage in politics or any of that stuff. So if that's the case, why would you even talk about it at all? Well, partly the thing is because people will push you to and pressure you to. Now, again, we recognize we have people listening all over the world. And so it's a little tricky. But here in the U.S., there's particularly been some pressure that, why have you not stood with the president? Now, you know, particularly among white evangelicals, there's a high percentage of support for President Trump. It's less so among pastors. Now, this is a poll, a series of polls we did before the election. So, but there was kind of different levels of, you know, but a lot of people like, well, you know, this is the time we should be praying for this. And so you partly get pushed by people. And then part of the thing is that people turn things, like, if you talk about race, people will say, why are you getting political? Well, I mean, there are political implications of all of those things. So we're going to talk about race more in just a moment. But here's what I would say. I would be real cautious. You do not need to do, again, what I do. I, on the morning of the last midterm election, I wrote an article about misleading facts about immigrants and refugees. And that was right in the morning of the midterm election. You know, I have... you know, I write, for example, often on issues of life. I think 100 years from now, people are going to be horrified at the way the U.S., Canada, and other nations viewed the unborn. You know, U.S., Canada, and five other nations have these extreme abortion laws. And so here's what I would say. So if I talk about those things, is that political? Well, if you talk about the right to life, if you talk about abortion, in almost all places where evangelicals are, they would not see that as political. But clearly, that has political ramifications. That's why, you know, in the U.S., the Supreme Court matters. You know, and you know, partly one of the reasons that I was vocal in support of Supreme Court picks. Now, again, we're talking about things that right now people are listening. It's like, well, I don't agree with that. That's right. It's okay. We're having one discussion about this on one episode. So just get through this. So but here's the thing. So pretty much what happens is moral issues have political dimensions. This is key. Moral issues have political dimensions. So if you're going to talk about race and you're going to talk about abortion, and you're going to talk about religious liberty, and you're going to talk about immigrants and refugees. All of those have political dimensions. So what I would say is acknowledge that they have political dimensions, but don't speak of them in political terms. And political terms would be you should vote for this person so that this comes out. Well, because what you may have noticed, Daniel, you know enough about American politics, that those four issues that I mentioned, this is from a sermon I preached not that long ago, those four issues I mentioned would often put you in different political parties, mm-hmm. and no political party is going to represent perfectly the Christian worldview.
Yeah.
And I think that's key, right? So what I would say is, I don't have to say, you should vote for this person because you care about how immigrants and refugees are spoken up, or you should vote for this person because you care about the unborn. What I can say is, we as a society need to speak up for immigrants and refugees, that they are spoken of in the manner that of their creator is made in the image of God, worthy of dignity and respect. And when you hear somebody saying horrible things about immigrants and refugees, you can say, that's not how Christians speak. So if that's in the news, you can say, that's not how Christians speak. You don't have to mention a person. There may be times when you do, but you don't have to. But you can say, this is the way Christians will speak of people. So, and the same thing when it comes to issues of life. You know, I speak up regularly, right? This is, in January in the U.S. is right around Roe v. Wade anniversary. So this is in many ways a sanctity of life month. I know it's different in Canada and other places, but hopefully all of our months are places we talk about this. So what I would say is, speak of political issues. Let me rephrase that. Speak of moral issues with political dimensions without naming politicians or parties, and make sure that you, now, if you only talk about certain issues or issues that maybe your constituents would agree with, I recognize when I get in front of people and I talk about racial justice, and I talk about being pro-life, and I talk about religious liberty, and I talk about refugees and immigrants, that I'm alienating different people when I do so. So, partly that's the job of the pastor. The pastor's job is to comfort the afflicted and to afflict the comfortable. And there are issues that, a whole lot of people don't want to talk about race, and they might say it's political, but it's not. And let me just tell you, visible minorities or persons of color, they don't get to say, I don't want to talk about race. That's not the they don't get the freedom to do that.
Yeah, for sure.
So what I would say, use moral categories with recognizing their political ramifications, and do so because it matters.
So, okay, you said something absolutely fascinating here, especially as you were kind of touching on the race side of things, where it almost seems like everything's become politicized.
Yeah.
Right. So as a pastor, how do we address that? Because, to even the thing that you may not even see the political dimension to, you know, someone's bringing that up.
Yeah. So for example, pretty much today, everybody would say that individual acts of racism are bad and should be condemned by society. So, so if somebody does, you know, I don't hire you because you're black, or I use the N-word in public, I think pretty much people would widely say that's wrong. Here's where it gets a little tricky. Well, some of the conversation today is, are there systemic issues that have projected from the past into the present? Is there racism that is inherent in the way certain structures are in our society? And those are what we call systemic or structural issues that are still at place there. Well, I think in 2020, a lot of Christians said, maybe we need to learn more, because what happens is, now, again, one of the things, and Daniel, you know this, is that there are certain people that show up on television, and most evangelical Christians just dismiss them because they're tied in with a whole lot of other, you know, causes and issues that we're like, we're not really. So we see someone talk about racial justice, and a lot of evangelicals just dismiss them. But when you talk to people that you've heard at church planting conferences, like Leonce Crump, mm-hmm. when you talk to people like Derwin Gray, when you talk to people like Brian Laritz, when you talk to people like Priscilla Shire, when you talk to people, you'll notice all African Americans, and Tony Evans and more, and they tell you that, you know, it's a different experience being an African American in the U.S. It's, for example, I have to tell my sons about what it's like to be stopped by the police and how to respond differently. I don't have to tell my three daughters. I don't sit down with them and say, listen, make sure you put your hands on the steering wheel when a police officer comes. Don't make any sudden moves. I don't fear for them in that way. So there are issues. So what I would say is that when we hear African-American leaders that we hear at our church planning conferences, and they tell us that their lived experience is different, and there are systemic and structural issues that impact them and their families today, I think we ought to say, okay, that's a thing. Now, here's the challenge. That's pretty much recognized by, again, using U.S., my apologies, but it's pretty much recognized by Republicans and Democrats that that's the case in most mainstream settings. But now you've got some people who sort of deny that, right? And you know, you go to, when you look at like the dominant political parties in Canada, Liberal Party and the Conservative Party, lots of predecessors that sort of come out of those things. You know, pretty much all are going to acknowledge that there's systemic racism, and they just talk about how you should address it. So people might have differences in opinion on how to address it, but in the U.S., there's now a vocal group that says, "Well, there is no such thing as systemic racism." Well, here's the thing: as a pastor, you need to tell the truth, and the truth is that people are experiencing systemic and structural racism in their lived day-to-day existence if they're people of color in a way that we don't in ours. So I would say that it's fine to say that, and not only fine to say that, important to say that, and people will perceive that as political, and they'll, depending upon how much they're spending on the internet, they might call you a cultural Marxist or something else. But it's still true, and people in your church need to know that you know that it's true. People of color in your church need to know that you see that it's true. And so that's where I would communicate about race, and I would write down beforehand how I want to say this. I want to say, for example, I would mention, I think it was important in 2020 that people mention the name George Floyd and say, we grieve, and we want to work towards a better sense of justice, and we want to, and to communicate some of those things, write it out, agree with your elders beforehand on what you're going to do, how you're going to communicate it. That's not political, it's moral with political implications. And I think ultimately Christian pastors, again, that's not primarily what I'm talking about every single week.
Yeah.
But if when the whole world is watching this at times, and Christians are silent, I think that gets noticed as well.
Oh, completely. And to add on to that, I mean, part of it, especially when you're approaching issues that you know are politicized and you are anticipating, you'll hear from the left and through the right and from everyone some sort of feedback on, especially when you're addressing issues like that, like the three cultural issues that we're addressing today. Part of it is, we got to make sure our rationale for talking about all of this is rooted in the Bible and not in politics and not in current issues. Now, you may be addressing, and obviously we do need to address these current issues, but you need to root it from, hey, as the people of God or as the church, God is calling us to, and you're rooting it in the scriptures so that if anyone has a beef with what you're talking about, you're not standing on a political party's platform that may change or the lived out may be different than what they're saying. So Ed, I guess as we're kind of coming close to the end of this podcast, for the pastors who are listening in, should we address these three cultural issues through our preaching?
Well, I think the answer is yes. I mean, there are places that will naturally come up. I was preaching through James, and we came up issues of favoritism, or if you're in Ephesians, and it talks about, certainly the Jew-Gentile reality is not completely analogous to, our experience, but, it's literally called this great mystery, how people are brought together. I think there's places, for that matter, if you're preaching through Isaiah, Isaiah addresses people who take up all the land and don't leave room for others. I mean, the Bible's filled and rich. I mean, the minor prophets is filled and rich with issues that have real world implications today. I would still say that, first of all, it's interesting. In predominantly Anglo churches, they don't generally like interrupt a series for something that's significant. Whereas that's I've been told, I was with Charlie Dates and he was teaching a class with us on preaching just recently, and glad to have him teaching with us at the Wheaton College grad school. And what he said is, when we see an issue like that, we're going to take a Sunday and talk about it. And so the question is how. And what I would say is, if something raises to the level that the community is talking about something, right? Whether it's something the president has said, whether it's something that's, you know, been in our national conversation. You know, we saw the Capitol breached here, just stunning. You know, whether it's a shooting in our community, if people are talking about it, I think they should hear from God's messenger about it in some way. You know, it might be a comment before a message, it might be in the prayer time, it might be something, because what we, the gospel we teach and preach, is deeply related to life. Now, again, don't feel the need to jump in on every conversation, on every topic, but I do think that if people are talking about the community, we should be talking about it in the church, particularly if people are wondering, well, does the church care about this issue? Is the church speaking up on issues of justice or more? And I want that answer to be in a biblical, God-honoring, Holy Spirit-filled way, yes, we are.
Yeah, and at a minimum, to address and pray about it, even if you're not saying this or that, just to call it out, because so that's love it. And so, you know, on this little mini series that we're on, 561, 563, we've been talking about cultural issues. Next time we get together, we're going to be talking about theological issues that we as a church need to be aware of as we enter into 2021. So thanks again for listening in, and we'll catch you next time.